Hello gamers and welcome to season 2 of Is This Game Queer? Despite the long break, I'm still your host Leo and I love video games and overthinking things. In this episode, we go back to the Stone Ages as we answer the question, is Rouge of Pacha queer? Developed by Sodaden, Rouge of Pacha is a new farming and life simulation game for 1-4 players in the vein of Harvest Moon and Stardew Valley. The game sets itself apart in the popular genre with its Stone Age setting, focusing on a small climate's progress in settling into a new area after following the guidance of their guardian spirit. The game was just released on April 25th on PC and Mac, with current generation console launch planned for later this year. Unlike Stardew Valley, Rouge of Pacha was built from the start to allow cooperative play. However, this review is based on the single-player campaign on the PC version, so I cannot comment on the multiplayer functionality. At its basic level, Rouge of Pacha is a rather typical example of a farming life simulation. However, it quickly sets itself apart with its unique setting and theme. Rather than selling products for money, the player earns contribution points by donating their products to the clan. This in part adds to the total prosperity of the clan, which unlocks new ideas and changes to the village as the clan gets more advanced. Advancement and progress are at the heart of the game, as the player works with the other villagers to develop new technologies and cultural points from different tiers of tools to new techniques for preparing and preserving food. Rather than purchased from a store, animals are tamed from wild herds and then bred for better qualities, while crops start off as wild seeds and progress to more domesticated variants as the player's knowledge of them increases through several harvests. Aside from cultural progress, the main plot of the game concerns the clan's guardian spirit, Pacha, who has a special task for the player. Completing challenges set by various spirits and fulfilling prophecies are an essential part of the game's story as the player and their clan try to find out what it is Pacha wants from them. First off, the good. It's clear that the developers are very familiar with the genre and have picked up many quality of life adjustments that some similar games only offer through updates or mods. For example, the contribution value of every item is displayed in the player inventory, and the in-game map displays not only the location of every character, but also whether they have quest updates or tasks for the player. The prehistoric theme has been one of the game's main selling points since the early marketing, and it carries through the entire game in not only its visuals, but also the game mechanics. The player has to help invent timekeeping and calendars before these are available in-game. Crops start off as wild variants that increase in quality and even change appearance over time, and weather forecasts have been replaced by the player's grandmother complaining about her aching knees ahead of rain. The music minigame for taming animals is surprisingly fun, and endless repeats are softened by the fact every species has its own melody and rhythm. Even the fishing minigame manages to be different from many others, as rather than reeling in the fish, the player must stalk their target in shallow waters without being seen. The clan's fictional culture shines through in many places, from rainy day stories to the spiritual festivals. The cast of characters is well written and delightfully diverse. While the Pachans are a small community, they have members from various backgrounds and even originating from different clans, with great variation in race and appearance. There are many different types of family units, from bended families to adult siblings living together. Both cutscenes and random dialogue offer more insight into the personalities and relationships of the characters, aided by the expressive portraits. The writing in general is entertaining and surprisingly vast. While each character may only say a limited number of lines each day, I didn't get my first repeat of random daily dialogue until the fall of the first year. While all characters are visually distinct, there isn't as much variation in terms of visible disabilities or different body types. One character does use a cane and another has lost an eye, but honestly, I would have expected more scars and injuries in a community that until recently were strictly hunter-gatherers. This may in part be due to the art style. The portraits only show each character's head and shoulders, while the entire body is only seen in stylized pixel art form. Even so, it seems unlikely all adult characters would fit in one of three basic shapes. I found the background music enjoyable and varied enough not to get too repetitive, conveying the mood of the game with different styles in different situations. I was delighted the first time I realized that when I approached a playing musician, his instrument was added to the soundtrack while he was on screen. Being a completionist at heart, I was very happy to see that the game tracks things such as discovered animal varieties and processed products for me. In general, the game does a great job of giving the player relevant information. For example, the guides for all mechanics can be viewed again at any time, and the required materials for a quest can be checked through the quest description without having to revisit the character initiating the task. Then, they're not so good. As with most PC games I play, I use a controller for Roots of Patcher. In general, this worked fine, but occasionally I had trouble with targeting the right square or even the right directions. A few times I ended up interacting with a different thing entirely, such as needlessly watering the crops next to the one I was trying to pick, or activating a totem rather than breaking a rock. On one occasion, I nearly failed a festival contest because none of the buttons responded to the rhythm minigame, even though I had successfully used the controller for all the animal taming rhythm games. In the end, I had to use my keyboard for this one bit, which was rather frustrating and awkward. For all that it's good about showing information in most cases, there are times when the game simply doesn't state something the player is assumed to know. When I started gathering seeds for autumn crops, I was confused because they were not appearing on the selection wheel for seeds. After going through a few menus, I realized that rather than adding all new seeds to the available selection, the wheel had a limited number of slots and I had to manually replace old seeds with new ones once the wheels filled up. Likewise, at launch there was no information on where to purchase more inventory space, though this has since been corrected in a patch. In terms of visual information, there's no indication when an animal is ready to be milked, and for some fur-producing animals, it's not even very clear when they are ready to be sheared, requiring the player to interact with them with the relevant tool only to be informed the animal won't be ready for several days. This is especially frustrating as every animal has multiple visual variants, but only some of these variants show the fur growth clearly. In a similar way, the wild and domesticated variants of each crop are an interesting way to visually show the player's progress, but also means that rather than simply learning to recognize one harvest-ready state for each crop, the player must learn two or even three slightly different final stages for each. While the game does feature the usual cave diving and mining activities for the genre, there is no combat or enemies in Roots of Patcher, and even the wild animals are neutral at worst. I did not mind this as it fits the peaceful and relaxed atmosphere of the game, but others might find this to be an omission, particularly when spears and hunting are heavily featured in the clan's culture, but the only way to get meat is to purchase it from the local hunter. Another gripe I have with the mines is the lack of shortcuts. The caves are predetermined, with only stolen ore generation being randomized, and some of the chambers feature puzzles and mazes. While this is a valid design choice that goes well with the theme of completing challenges to gain the spirit's approval, combined with the fact that exit shortcuts are sometimes rather far apart, this means that more than once I've ended up passing out in exhaustion, simply because trying to find my way out of the case took much longer than expected. And finally, the queer. Like most farm life simulations, Roots of Patcher also allows the player to find love and start a family. The game follows the lead of most modern indie titles in the genre by allowing the player to pursue any of the romanceable options without consideration for gender. In fact, the game gives very little consideration for the player's gender in general. During character creation, the player can choose one from three basic body shapes, one feminine, one masculine, and one somewhat androgynous, but there is no mention of sex or gender, nor do the characters refer to the player in such terms. This carries over the interface. While the NPCs all use gendered pronouns and sometimes refer to each other by words such as mother, the family relationship guides for each character use neutral words such as partner, parent, child, and sibling. While some might prefer the validation of being able to choose your in-game gender, I personally prefer the neutral approach to Stardew Valley's awkwardly binary farmer boy and girl. As allowing romance with all available NPCs has become more the rule than the exceptions, especially in modern indie titles, I tend to pay special attention to any NPCs who are shown to be queer outside their relation to the player character. Roots of Pacha does clear this bar, at least. While most of the established couples and even the implied bits of interest are heteronormative, there is a female couple in the clan. Their son is one of the romanceable options and refers to both of them as his mothers. Honestly, I would have liked to see more representation, not only in romantic orientation but also gender expression. While there are a few NPCs who use the more androgynous body shape, most of the characters follow the gender division between the more masculine and feminine body, as well as hairstyles and accessories. Even aside from this differing from how freely the player can customize their character, it seems strange that even in a fictional prehistoric culture, only men would wear their hair short and spiky, while wearing a hair up would be seen as a feminine trait. In conclusion, Roots of Pacha is a well-made farm life sim with a unique twist. While it's not without its flaws, it is overall a very enjoyable experience, and I definitely recommend it for any fans of the genre. As always, thank you for listening to me ramble.